Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is, it always be messed up with the dates. Today is the... Damn, what's about the 11th?
Nah.
The 9th?
The 8th, bro.
Today's the 8th, February 8th.
It's the 8th?
Yeah.
You got me questioning.
Yeah, I don't. Eighth, I mean, yeah. I believe y'all. I'm not questioning it because I never keep up with the date, man.
Yeah.
So, we in the studio. As y'all can hear, Naima's not here. Sadly, her father passed away last week.
Yeah.
Late last week. Yeah. Over the weekend, maybe. Over the,
yeah.
After an illness, so you know, obviously we send our love out to her. She's dealing with the, yeah, you know, getting everything squared away for the services and all that, and still trying to deal with work and just dealing with everything. So obviously, like,
yeah, Pop Life Podcast has definitely had a rough from the end of 15
crazy
to 17
heavy. Like my mom passed, then your dad passed, then your sister passed, and now Naima's dad passed.
Yeah,
crazy. So, like, I mean, like, not that any death isn't big, but like the big ones.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, my cousin from, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's sad, but it ain't. And my cousin passed.
Oh yeah.
My cousin passed in Atlanta. So, yeah. So like,
but sending our love to her and her sister and all the family.
So as y'all can hear, I don't know if y'all can hear, but we got a guest in the building. My man, we only worked together for a year. I can't believe I know you before.
Has it been a year already?
Yeah, I started last January.
You started January?
I started last January, so it's been a year.
Wow.
Yeah, my man.
Yeah, Sydney, we've never come across each
ever
other.
Ever once. And we didn't know each other in a can of paint.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen your name.
Yeah, I've seen your name as well.
I've seen your name, but yeah, we never met.
My man Sydney Margeson is in the building. What up, Sid?
What up? What up? Thank you for having me.
Your first time ever doing anything? He's a publicist and he never does publicity.
Really? Mm-hmm. Not on myself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm from old school. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I don't need all that shit.
I don't do.
This for the artist.
Yeah. Right. I ain't taking no pictures, man. Ronnie.
And even with the reality shows, I'm like, I don't want to be on them.
Yeah.
With that, I don't do.
Yeah.
I've had opportunities to be like, not as a character, but like people are like, yo, nah, I beat Joe.
Yeah.
I don't need to be on Lipstick Alley Shade Room.
Shade Room and
peace to them, by the way. We had the girl from Shade Room on here before.
Oh, okay.
The girl who runs it, who owns it and runs it.
So okay.
But anyway, Sydney is a longtime industry vet. How long have you been in the game, Sid?
I've been in the business since 96, 21 years. So I just turned 21 in January. With Atlantic, one place.
You never had a gig nowhere else?
College ripping and intern, but as a job, profession,
One spot. So your 401k must be crazy. This nigga shit is $8 figures. This nigga shit is about $12 million.
Good money.
They're like, damn, Seth. We can't match this shit on us. They gonna walk out of there with $38 million.
It's about probably like five of us at Atlantic that's been there. That's been there that long.
That's a good. No, that's an amazing.
The last of the Mohicans. That shit don't happen like that no more now.
Yeah. Nah.
And I was Julie Greenwald's intern at Def Jam when she was there.
Wow. Yeah, you told me about that. Wow. We're gonna get into your story because I think as most people who stayed in the business this long, everybody's story is kind of interesting on how it got going, you know, how you got going and how you end up staying around this long, you know? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man.
Chilling?
Anything going on? Not much. Just, you know, being a roadie for my daughter.
How's she doing?
She good. They performing at the Mona's party.
Okay, Mona's having a big birthday bash next week.
Two weeks.
Wait, what's the dress code on that? What I gotta
Well, you know,
I gotta get my good shoes out of the clip.
Put your good shirt on, my good shirt. Yeah, put your good shirt on, man.
Ernestine, where's my tie?
Yeah, put your good shirt on, man.
I can't find my blue socks.
And get your line up. You know,
all that good stuff.
Yeah, right, but cool. But yeah, nothing much, man. You know, same old.
Just chugging along.
Yeah, man.
Okay. So let's get into it, man. I think we should start off with the light, easy stuff with, start with the Super Bowl, which for you, bro, is, because he's a Saints fan.
Yes.
I don't know if you know, but Saints fans and Falcon fans, that's quietly, might be the most intense rivalry in NFL, quietly.
Yo.
Like, they hate, there's no gray with Falcons and Saints. Like, they hate. Yeah. Each other with a passion.
I was going to text all the Falcons fans in my phone today and just ask them who going to do the body. Because y'all got killed.
Well, killed is a strong word, bro.
They wet the bed, bro. They wet the bed.
Period.
They wet the bed, man. Okay. You got the score. You're up 25.
In the third or the fourth?
In the
third.
No. Wasn't 25 in the third because they scored late.
They scored. New England it was 28-9.
Yes, it was like 28-9 because they scored and they missed the extra point.
Yes. Yeah.
So you got the game. The game is in your hand. Devontae Freeman is having great game.
He's wild.
He's running for 7 yards a carry. Yeah. and a part of me felt like Kyle Shanahan, who's the offensive coordinator for Atlanta, did what I felt like is the same subconscious shit that I think made Pete Carroll throw that ball, right? Was that if Devontae Freeman, if they give him the ball and he keeps averaging 7 yards a carry,
it's over.
He wins the MVP.
Yeah?
He wins the MVP, dude. Like, I just felt like Kyle Shanahan.
Like, his first run, he gashed him for, like, 40.
Fam, I'm like, you're overthinking this right now. Like, there's not a, you could play Madden with a 12-year-old.
Yeah, they wouldn't do
and
that.
And they're going to run the ball.
Yeah, when you get that.
When you get to that point, you running the ball.
Yeah, to kill the clock.
Or you dinking and dunking.
Yeah, to kill the clock and staying in bounds.
Come on, man. Yeah,
the big mess up was when Julio Jones caught that L catch,
that which was phenomenal.
That put them around the 30. Maybe 30, 32-yard line, which was in field goal range for their kicker, who had only missed one field goal all season. Missed one field goal.
The kicker was like something like 37 of 38 from inside the 40 with game on the line. It was like some, ridiculous stats they come up with. He's basically perfect.
Yeah, basically.
Like, it's money. Yeah. You're in a dome. You don't have, there's no wind, there's no rain, there's no issues. You third and one. You run the ball.
Yeah, and on third and one, they decided to throw a pass. Matt Ryan gets sacked for, a smooth 15?
Yes. Now you're out of field goal range.
Come on, bro. Yeah, it's like, dude, all you have to do is a third one. If he didn't get the first
down,
which he would have,
they don't deserve nice things. The fans don't deserve nice things.
Yo, all my niggas, my Atlanta niggas is on my phone planning for what they was doing at the parade.
Bruh.
The parade going to be lit, nigga. Like, I'm about to get my ticket. It was done. Like, they were going.
I was at my man's house watching the game. I left after the first drive of the fourth quarter.
Like, it's over.
I'm like, there's no reason for me to just keep hanging around.
Plus, you didn't want to see them win, so you didn't want to see it.
So I was sick. I was like, fuck, now I gotta eat shit, the Atlanta fans. Because our saving grace is that the Saints got a championship. So that's my saving grace. I get to talk.
We got a ring.
I got the ring. I get to post that ring. I got a picture with the ring, by the way. I went down to the Saints facility, so I had on a ring. So yeah, like I get to post. I'm fronting. I'm shit talking right now. And I'm like, all of that's gone, bro. I don't get to do none of that now. You know, and a part of me, you know, the Scrooge.
I don't get to do nothing.
The Scrooge McDuck part of me was kind of like, if they win, it's not really the worst thing. Because, you know, the condo is like right up the street from the stadium. I'm like, property value.
Yeah, my B&B shit about to be crazy.
Be popping. I'm about to be getting all that.
All of the
bread. I was like, you know what, whatever, man. But then I get back to the crib, Because so my man's wife is from Louisiana, so every Super Bowl, I get my own pot of jambalaya without shrimp.
Oh, were you eating shrimp?
Yeah, I can't eat shrimp.
Oh, okay.
I get my own pot. I came back.
With the sausages?
I got all that, bro, in a big old bowl.
Good money.
I'm getting ready to just eat my pain away. I'm like, oh, shit, this is a game. Yep. What the fuck just happened from the time I was down the street to now? Mm-hmm. Yo, bro, the game was... Mona was watching the game, bro. Like, watching...
Everybody was watching the game.
Like, my wife has never watched football. Like, she was, like, sitting up, paying attention, asking questions.
That was me. That.
I don't watch football, but I watched
that one.
I watched it, and I'm like this.
You in it?
Yeah, like that's crazy.
And
yeah.
My heart was going like the whole time. I was like, what the fuck?
Watching it slip away.
Yeah.
And it really came, like, it really felt like we're looking at the Twitter, it definitely was like the blacks versus the whites.
Well,
Atlanta was like the black team, and the Patriots was like the Donald
it
Trump right there.
Somebody wrote Black Lives Matter, and they put the score of Atlanta and make America great again.
But exactly. The Patriots. Yeah, it was definitely that divide line.
But you know what, man? I personally kind of felt for the team, right? Because you can't possibly, and you know, players will always say, no, you know, we didn't think about that till the game was over.
Lies.
You gotta think that, oh shit. Like,
you about to win this.
I'm about to win the Super Bowl.
Now, this has to be the worst.
It is the worst.
It's loss it's the in worst. History for a team.
Yeah.
Like, and then morale.
Because
it's the worst in the Super Bowl.
Because it's different.
It has to be.
Yeah, because it's different. Because
you get this close.
And the other Super Bowls that were close, they were back and forth. Like, Pittsburgh, Arizona was back and forth. Pittsburgh kind of jumped out, then Arizona made a comeback, and then it was back and forth. What's it called? Recently, Seattle and New England.
Yeah.
Back and forth. This was like, Atlanta was, it was over, and then they walked back
home. The Patriots trailed in this game 40 minutes and like 19 seconds that they were behind.
Yeah, like you can see it.
They literally don't take the lead until they win the game.
Yeah.
Like it's, you couldn't write that shit.
Yeah.
You couldn't, if that was in a movie, if that ending was in a movie,
like, fuck
get the fuck out of here. That would never happen.
Some bullshit, nigga. They would have just ran the ball, my nigga. In real life, they would just ran the ball
because that's what everybody would have done. And it was just like, yo, man, and sometimes, man, with these play callers and these offensive coordinators, and it's like, just use your common sense, bro.
Yeah.
They're so stuck in, and that was something that I thought about with Atlanta. I said, I think one of the problems was I said that the lead is so big. That Atlanta is so geeked, and you can see it on the sideline, that they're not going to take their foot off the gas, and they're going to keep pressing. And I'm like, you know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, your defense was just tired out there.
Yeah, yeah, that was the other thing.
The boys just got tired.
Atlanta was scoring. That's the other thing. Atlanta was scoring, so when they did score, they would score so quickly that the defense would end up being on the field much longer than offense. So the offense would walk down the field in 5-6 plays and score. And then the defense got a hold, you know what I'm saying?
I saw a lot of people, and I'll wrap it up on this, but like I saw a lot of people talking about, you know, oh, Atlanta should feel good because they got this young team, and they are clearly the better athletes,
man.
Right? Like they are, it's, you know, when you watch sports often, you can see the fast guys, the better athletes, they pop out on the screen. Atlanta was by far the better athletes.
Yeah.
Like, head and shoulders. And, you know, people think that, oh, you know, you got time. Like, none of that's guaranteed.
None's
like,
guaranteed.
Next year.
Could be an injury.
Obviously now, yeah.
It could be an injury. And you know what? The real shit is, yo, the NFC, I'm thinking about it that night. I'm like, yo, the NFC South, literally, we have the best division of quarterbacks. There is no division of quarterbacks that can fuck with the NFC South.
Yeah.
Between Jameis, Cam, Drew, and Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
They ain't a better crop of quarterbacks.
Yeah, you still got Dallas, you know, back there lurking. And
no, but I'm just saying,
the NFC in general, you still got Dallas lurking, you still got Seattle lurking.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
it ain't guaranteed to get back.
And we definitely ain't going to compete for shit. I ain't letting that
No, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, it's hard.
Yeah,
it ain't guaranteed Atlanta getting back.
This Dan Marino win 83.
Yeah.
Still got
Aaron Rodgers.
It never went back.
Yeah, yeah. So, peace to Atlanta.
They don't have to go to the White House.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's a couple guys. There's a couple guys in New England that aren't going. Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
So he's definitely not going. I think it's Darius McCourty.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Darius, like, his first name. McCourty is definitely his last name. He said he's not going, and they think it's going to be some other black cats, too, that's going to not go. But yeah. Martellus Bennett, you know, because I don't know if you know, their brothers, the Bennett brothers. It's Martellus, who now plays for New England, and Michael Bennett, who plays for Seattle. They actually both have Super Bowl rings now. And they're both, like, the most outspoken dudes, maybe in the league. Like, they don't bite their tongue for shit. And they are both super pro-black. You know, they from Houston. They, like, raw dudes. And so, like after Martellus had his uniform on, and he was like, "I ain't going." He was with his daughter, like, "I'm not going." Like, it wasn't even like he had to think about it. He's like, "Nah, I'm not going. It's not even an option for me."
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to be interesting, too, to see who does show up at the White House. I mean, some of them, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. What we think about the commercials?
Yeah, it was lame this year.
You like nothing?
No, I mean, not for me, who's someone who doesn't watch. Like that, I'm looking forward to the commercials.
Uh huh.
And it wasn't anything that really stood out. Like, what? Melissa McCarthy's commercial for.
It was all right.
Other than that.
I liked the one, the lumber one, about the mother and the daughter going from Mexico to the U.S. And it just felt like a lot of commercials definitely had a tone of. Some of them had a straight up fuck Donald Trump tone. Mm-hmm, but then other ones definitely had a tone of, like, this is America. The land of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, this land is made for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
They brought that back. And there were some others that I'm blanking out on now, where, like, it definitely, like, was about us, not, yeah, like, them versus us. So it was a lot of that. I guess, you know, the advertising agencies was reading
it was a lot of waste of $5 million to pay for a spot.
Yeah.
It's like, nothing was worth it.
Yeah, none of the commercials popped out to me, like, none of them.
I think a lot of that reason is because this year, unlike most years, there was very little humor in the commercials.
Well, also, too,
a lot of them have a very serious tone, again, because of the Trump thing, whereas usually it's like some crazy shit happening and, you know, like a lot of CGI. It wasn't a lot of that this year.
I also think the advertising is changing. And I don't think that the Super Bowl, buying a spot on the Super Bowl in 1994 or 1995 was very, very different
than now,
because you have a lot of these commercials have been online. They've been,
prior to this, is true.
Yeah. So it's not
a reveal.
It's not a reveal. And it's just, you know, you buy the Super Bowl ad because you're going to get the eyes, not because you're making a splash about a product. Like, none of that. Like, you would see some commercials and you're like, well, what's the product?
What's the product?
Like, what am I supposed to be buying here? Like, you know, so I get it. And, you know, that's kind of what it is. It's.
So, hey, I want to bring up something that I actually didn't have on the list, but I thought it was, I don't know if interesting is the right term. So, today, the article came out about the Migos in Rolling Stone. And, you know, it's an article about the Migos and their life and, you know. But one piece of the article, they mentioned, the writer asked, I guess when the writer was doing the article was when McConan came out the closet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a few weeks ago, whatever. And so they quote the Migos, and the Migos are like, yo, that's crazy. The world is kind of fucked up right now. But they don't necessarily go at McConan. They're not like, fuck him. They're just like, yo, the world's fucked up right now. It's really fucked up, whatever. So, of course, that little clip leaked out. That little, you know, blurb leaked out. Everybody on Black Twitter jumped all over the Migos. But I read the whole piece, which most niggas never do.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, even in the thing, they was like, yo, we're not going at gay people. We just think it's kind of crazy. And then today, of course, they released a statement saying...
The Migos
released a statement saying that we weren't going at McConan. They spun it a little bit, saying we think it's sad that McConan couldn't be himself, and so he was making music, rap, talking about trapping and rapping and thugging, when that's really not who he was. He was kind of doing it for show, and we think it's sad that he couldn't just rap about whatever lifestyle he was actually living.
So I mean,
I thought it was an interesting. It was definitely some Kelly and Conway to the spin. but also alternative facts to the spin. Yeah. But also thought that people, as on Black Twitter, as they always want to do, like totally jumped all over something.
Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of like the blurbs and the headlines, just to get the chatter.
Let me ask you a question, Sydney. Mm-hmm. As a publicist, mm-hmm. let's get into it a little bit. But we don't necessarily talk about the Migos thing, but in a bigger picture,
yeah.
How has, because I get this question all the time from the A&R side, how has social media, which I'm sure this affects you even more than me, how does social media, how has it changed and affected your job being a publicist now at a record company?
It's changed everything. It's changed every form of structure, because now it social media cuts out the middleman, which is us. And so if there's an artist or entertainer, athlete can respond or could make a statement directly to the audience, where before the media had to come to us and then we...
And get a statement.
Yeah, we craft a statement. Craft a statement, give them a statement, clean up a statement.
So you feel like you guys are always playing catch up?
Yeah, it's we're constantly, you know, we're the social media police.
Mm.
You know, because we don't control all artists' social media. And so we got to monitor what they say, and then react off of it.
So you, as a publicist, you don't, I guess unless you have a great relationship with an artist, you can't be like, "Ayo, like, don't talk about this or don't say that."
No, absolutely, but they're people.
So they do what they
do. Yeah, you can't, you know, you can tell your kids not to do something, but then they go out and do it. You know, when they're at school or whatever, they, you know, around their friends and they're in the moment and they're emotional. And this generation is the worst. I mean, they
as
grew
far
up
as emotional.
They grew up in social media. They didn't like just become to get on board when it came about. They grew into it, and so they express their emotions socially, and so they don't know how to separate. And so they see something, they get affected, and then they quickly
hit the gram or
hit the gram
or
whatever, and think about the repercussions later.
And or we don't have think about the repercussions at all.
And then we have to react.
So let me ask this question. When we were, you know, coming up back in the day, there was, of course, there was, you know, Vibe magazine and The Source and XXL and the hundreds of pieces of any other magazine I just didn't mention at the time. And those magazines kind of like were the, you know, the Bibles of hip-hop or black music and black music culture, and people went there to read and found what was going on. So now, those things just seem to be replaced with all the IG shit. Shade Room, Baller Alert, Fameless Entertainment, and on and on and on. Why do you think that the Double XLs and the Sources and the Vibes or whatever, why didn't they make the transition? Like, why is there no Vibe IG that's popular, I should say? I mean, it might be one. I don't know. Is it too old?
I wouldn't say it's too old, but to me, it goes back to journalism. It's just like a kid is at home, starts talking, builds an audience, has a personality, can say whatever. You know, when you look at these publications and the magazines and outlets, you know, they have a standard, they have a code, so they just can't say whatever. They still have to do business with artists. They still got to get advertising.
So they just can't wild out.
So they can't wild out and say whatever
because
they want.
Those things are definitely like faceless.
Right. So some kid at home can start a blog or have an IG or whatever and say whatever, you know, and there's no repercussions.
I just felt like when blogs became popular, when the first, you know, Media Takeout first popped off and Boss Up and these type of things, I felt
they were
like...
They were getting sued.
They were getting nailed.
Media Takeout in the beginning, like, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
I mean, you know, labels and people going after them immediately because they were just saying whatever.
And that's what ended up transitioning to the faceless IG people.
Yep.
So even now, Vibe couldn't just be on IG wilding out because they'll get nailed.
I mean, they got to do business with
the company. And that's the other thing, too. I mean, you have to maintain a certain decorum and a certain relationship in order to keep the standard of your brand in a certain on a certain level, right? So even if you want to change and adapt, you can't really compete in this sort of Wild Wild West territory, right? Because
you still have a traditional publication,
right.
And you still need to have Rihanna do your cover, right? And you're like, if you're still trying to make your magazine business mean something, you can't just, you know,
bash Rihanna,
yeah, bash
on Monday,
Rihanna on Monday,
and then ask her for, you know,
exactly,
participation on Tuesday.
Exactly.
Doesn't
so,
work like that.
So yeah, so they are handcuffed in a way that blogs and other people. Mm-hmm. And remember, these other people are not just faceless places, but these are entities that are LLCs. They are mm-hmm. small companies in comparison mm-hmm. to some of these bigger enterprises like the Source. Mm-hmm. And double, you know, there are a lot more things here. And when you have red tape, like, you just can't do that shit. Like, yeah, I saw so and so last night. Yeah, you just can't go out and write that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta go and make sure that this is okay. And you gotta, there's, like you said, there's a, you have to adhere to some sort of journalism.
Yeah, you gotta fact check.
Yeah, you gotta fact check.
You know, before you print something.
Yeah, so.
You know what I find interesting about this? I know we're getting off, we go back to the topics in a minute. When y'all were sitting there saying this, right? What popped in my mind literally was, this is the, to me, a perfect analogy of, the Democrats and the Republicans now,
mm-hmm.
in that the Democrats are still trying to adhere to certain guidelines and certain rules and certain things that you have to do, because, like you said, well, I don't really fuck with Jeff Sessions, but if I vote no, then later on when I go back to try to get this legislation passed, that the Republican, my Republican counterpart on my knee might need will shit on me. Whereas the Democrats is like,
the Republicans.
They like shade room. They're like, yeah, no rules, nigga. It's whatever. Yeah. And like, let's blow it up. Whatever happens, happens. Fuck it.
But would you put that on the Republicans, or would you just put that on
Trump
administration?
Let me say, yeah, you're right. Let me shift that. On the Trump people, they're like, no rules. We out here like baller alert. It's whatever.
No, it's the Wild Wild West.
It's Wild Wild West. But they won. So it feels like, is that where everybody should go? To just straight up Wild Wild West now?
No, because then we'll have anarchy.
Yeah, well, if you do that, then there is no stability,
right,
in having a reputable place to get your information. Right? And so, again, it's like think about it like this. And I always sort of liken this to, like, Jet Magazine, right? Like, Jet Magazine used to be a great magazine, right? Mm-hmm. You got your Beauty of the Week.
Staple.
You get singles on
pictures.
If it came out in Jet, then that was the law.
That was it. That shit
was meant
something.
Was I ever in Jet? No, I've gotten people in Jet.
Yeah,
like family, like people in Jet.
I was in Jet once, ages ago.
You was in Jet?
Ages ago, I was in Jet Magazine.
No,
I told this story.
I was in Black Enterprise.
Well, that's big, too.
Yeah.
But I was in Jet Magazine, when I A&R'd the first two Shaq albums. So the first album...
Oh, you did that?
Yeah. It went platinum. It went platinum, so we went to Orlando to do a party or whatever, and we took pictures, and they put one of the pictures with me and Shaq and Lucky Punjabi and Jet. Dude, the ripple effect from that picture lasted a smooth...
Oh, you made it. You made
three,
it.
3-4 years.
Mr. Ernest and all
our parents.
Everybody.
Yeah, all our parents. That was on everybody's coffee table.
People I went to college with, like, the ripple
you
effect.
You in the Jet.
Yeah, you're old.
In the jet.
And then and when I was in the Jet, it felt like that's when my parents and aunts and them was finally
recognize,
like,
what you do.
You got a job.
Well, kind of. I don't really know what you do.
And then you needed 20 copies.
Oh,
I need copies.
I got as many copies as I could get for the purposes of the job at the time. And then people would, you know,
my
them and shit.
Yeah.
My aunt Ruth, who passed away not long ago, she had that shit till she died in her.
Wow.
That jet meant a lot.
Yeah.
Man.
And so
the married part.
Yeah. No, I got my cousin. I was big.
You was big.
I was big. I got my cousin and his wife in the married part, and I had to get like 30 copies.
That meant a
lot.
That was
huge.
So remember, the Jet was a bi-weekly thing, right?
Was it twice a week?
I'm sorry, not twice a week. Bi-monthly, my bad.
Bi-monthly, yeah.
So it came out like every two weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you would notice, like, after a while...
And that's where we got our news.
And as the internet started to become a source of information, you realize that a lot of this shit that was in the jet
is now in the net.
It's old.
You knew it. But that's the issue of publication. By the time it comes out, that's three months later.
Exactly. So it's very, very difficult, and they're fighting to sort of figure this out. And we have put the burden of that responsibility on them. We don't just accept everything, right? But we're getting to a place now where, you know, maybe in the next 10 years, those traditional publications and the rules that they play by are no longer
obsolete.
They're gonna have to figure it out.
Yeah,
they're gonna die.
A lot of them have died.
No, yeah. I mean, some of them have sort of tried to adapt. They've streamlined. They've cut jobs. Yeah. They've maybe they do six issues a year now. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're doing a little more in depth pieces, mm-hmm. and not everything isn't just so fluff. But the point is that people love the salaciousness because those sites gives them what they, it's like, it's affirmation and not information. It feeds the public this idea of what they think this is. So when they show, Rihanna doing something like smoking weed,
yeah.
or whatever the case may be, right? Like, it confirms to that group, oh shit, like, she's just like me, or she does the same things that I do.
Girl, I be smoking weed too.
Right? Like, so it kind of, so that's where they're going now to get that information. They don't give a fuck about no 6-page spread. They really don't.
They really
ain't nobody reading that shit. Yeah. They want 140 characters and some IG shots.
Nigga, so sometimes I go on, to your point about the not reading. I go on Lipstick Alley when I'm just killing time to just read the foolishness, right?
That's just what? Lipstick Alley?
Yeah. It's just a bunch of foolishness, right? But in reality, it's actually, for what it is, it's actually very well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge, site. It's got all these different kind of subtopics. It's got, the TV part. It's got the politics part. It's got all these different things you can click on. Tons of things, and there's forums, right? But anyway, a lot of times on Lipstick Alley, it'll be a story about, let's say, like Rihanna, right? And somebody will, copy and paste the story on the top of the thing, like Rihanna, whatever, smokes weed, mm-hmm. right? And you scroll down, and you'll go down to the next couple people on a forum or reading, and they'll say, what did it say? I'm not reading all that. Cliff notes. Somebody put the cliff notes up. It'll be like 3 paragraphs. And they're like, I ain't got time to read 3 paragraphs. Like, somebody tell me what the 3 paragraphs said so I can comment on what you told me the 3 paragraphs said.
We've been conditioned to, 140 characters.
Anything past that, I ain't fucking with.
Yeah.
Like, it's too long, bro.
We've been
conditioned to 140 characters, and we've been conditioned to, why are you calling me?
Yeah.
Why are you calling my phone? Why? Couldn't you have texted me this?
I'm so old school. Like, just dealing with the media and everything. Everybody wants to email. I'm like, I have to talk to you.
Ain't nobody talking, bro.
If we're just corresponding for the first time, okay, we can meet via email, but I need to feel you out. I'm old school in my pitching. I need to get the nuances in your voice.
Like, my guys who I deal with now, they're like, yo, you one of the only dudes left that actually, like, comes down to meet an artist. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm signing somebody I don't know. They're like, nah, people just be doing it over the computer, and they send music, and they just sign it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, well, that's more of a testament to what's going on. I'm a bit more administrative in a sense. So I'm very much, send me an email. Because I like to be able to say, no, that's not what you said.
Right. Yeah, well.
That's not at all what you said.
And I mean, on this day,
2:43, you sent the email saying X, Y, Z. So I'm sort of that guy in our business.
Like,
I like eyes dotted and T's crossed and, so I can be like that. And also, too, but I agree. I mean, I think the phone is really important. I think meeting people is really important. And I think that, again, we come from a generation where that meant something. Like, you were just telling mm-hmm. the young man, like, speak up. Say, speak to people.
Yeah.
Shake their hands. Mm-hmm. Be present. And I think that there's an entire generation that doesn't really know how to do that and how to operate.
They don't know how to communicate one-on-one, live.
Or they'll be in the same room texting.
Same room texting.
Well, I do that with my daughter. I be texting up from the other room, like, bring me a glass of water when you come upstairs with some potato chips.
I'm the way now, like, when you know, a group of us go out to eat or whatever, I'm like, okay, everyone, put the phones in the middle.
Yeah.
Do they do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole conversation.
It's a thing.
But it's like, yo, we have to look at each other. Yeah. We have to talk.
Yeah. Because otherwise, everybody's just doing it.
Everyone is on it.
You want to engage.
And they're nervous. Yo, he's on it?
Yeah.
You want to engage. Yeah.
So, real quick, just on a happy note, I'm loving these pictures of Barack on vacation now. Bruh been gone about 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Got his hat on backwards. He kiting in the water. I don't know when he coming back. I promise you he's smoking weed over there. I promise you he's smoking weed.
Yeah, he's been waiting for 8 years.
No, he deserves it.
He hasn't been able to do anything.
I ain't mad at him. I'm loving it.
For 8 years.
I promise you there's been some L's passed around there. That's why on Richard Branson's island. It's a private island. Nobody could come on that island unless
and they're the ones taking the pictures and giving it out.
Exactly. So they ain't in some resort where somebody could be looking over the fence. Him and Shell chilling. You know, Richard, I don't know if it's Richard's wife or his girl.
The toes are out.
Ain't no pants. He ain't got no pants since he's been over there.
Michelle got the thighs out.
With a sundress
on. I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And he deserves it.
Well deserved.
I guess he'll come back eventually. This is like the Trump administration in, coming up on 2.5 to 3 weeks, been so diabolical. It almost feels like we really want Barack to like come back and like save us, because this shit's crazy, bro.
Yeah, he's Barack not coming
ain't walking through that door.
He's not coming back.
He's like, bro, I tried to tell y'all.
It's done.
I tried to tell y'all who to vote for.
It's done.
And it's wild. Like I always say, everything that Hillary said this dude was going to do, which he obviously denied at the time, he's doing. Literally everything. He's like, he's Putin's puppet. No puppet. I'm no puppet. He's a puppet. He was like, yo, he's going to jam up the health insurance. No. Jamming up everything she said.
Yeah, but the sad part is that no matter what he does, his supporters agree with everything he's doing.
They just dug in now on some, like, the white man thing. It's like, yo, like, he's a white man. How dare you challenge or question anything that he's doing? You should shut up and ride. And that's also the message that everybody around him is spitting out.
So there was a woman last night on the debate that Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz
had. I missed that.
About how was that? I watched a bit of it.
All right.
So, first of all, there was a woman named LaRonda. LaRonda.
Okay, so we know what that was.
She
white lady?
Yes.
Where's she from?
Named LaRonda?
From where?
White woman named LaRonda from Texas with 5 hair salons.
Oh, she done got so many resumes thrown. Is she fucking black men?
LaRonda
from Texas? Texas, from Fort Worth,
with
Texas.
With 5 hair salons.
5 hair salons.
She grew up with black people.
No. So the long and the short of it is that this was a woman who, again, owns 5 hair salons.
Okay.
Apparently, they are franchised hair salons. She bought into a franchise. Mm-hmm. She has 5 of them. And she is saying, this is a woman who is arguing for ACA to be repealed.
Okay.
Because it is going to bankrupt her business because she can't go over 50 employees. Because once you go over 50 employees,
you have to have insurance.
The federal mandate is you have to have insurance. This is a woman who owns 5 hair salons, and she herself does not have insurance, yet is taking a stand against health care that could potentially save her life. Like, it was...
And her kid's life.
It was the most mind-blowing shit I had ever seen in my life. This was a person with no health insurance. No health insurance. That's LaRonda. That's LaRonda.
Wow.
So this is a woman, again... She doesn't have health insurance. She owns 5 salons and employs 48 people.
And she walks around with an ass out.
She's telling us that she can't afford health insurance. If you don't get the fuck out my face.
Yeah. Wow.
Basically, wow. Bernie was like, I don't know what to tell you. Bernie was like, look, you clearly, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
You employ more than 50 people.
I'm sure
you got to provide. Yeah. You got to provide health care. Like, it's just that simple.
Why do you want you and your employees to be out here like that?
Basically, his question was, what happens if your employee gets sick? And that's how it came up to her not having health care. He was basically like, what happens if one of your employees gets cancer? What happens if one of your employees gets sick?
What you
like,
say?
Are they just, she was like, well, I don't really know what to say. I don't have health insurance myself, was her answer, which was like.
Yeah, so that means no one's getting it.
So, like, are you fucking serious right now?
But you just.
But you just don't want this option.
Yeah.
Right? Like, anything but this.
But that.
Shit was mind blowing, bro.
So repeal the ACA so I can go from hiring 48 people to hiring 98 people. Who won't have health insurance?
So that's all this shit is about. They're all, you know, crying and oh, you know, if I go over this many, I want to do this. I want to hire more people, but I can't. And we know that shit. You know, we know it's bullshit. It is what it is. But wow. Anywho, you know, my pressure get up when I start.
Let's talk about, let's lighten up a little bit. Let's talk about being Mary Jane.
That's light.
Yeah. I told Sydney, I told you he hated. He hate the show. He hate Paul.
Okay,
he hate letter.
What, no, okay,
he hate letter.
What do you hate? The show? You hate the character? What do you hate?
I hate both. You hate everything.
You hate this season. You hate.
Well, I only watched one episode this season. The moment that they depicted New York as with the fucking
and
guy,
they're not even shooting in New York,
bro. The man is standing in front of a fiery trash can like it's fucking 1982. Like, I'm not watching.
Like it was the one with Gerald LaVert and him standing
there. Like it's New Jack City, nigga. Like,
What's crazy
is that it was like dark.
Dark.
And it was, and I was like, nigga, this ain't the Warriors. What are y'all doing?
Yo,
I can't.
So you ain't only watched out the first episode.
One episode.
It's getting better. When I saw the
Hispanic lady,
yeah,
just meet some dude across the room, connect eyes, and then go off to give him some pussy. I'm like, that don't happen in New York. Not with no Hispanic. Like, that don't happen.
And I think her character is from New York.
That's what I'm saying.
She's from Queens.
She's
a Kara.
That don't happen. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
Them in that dingy ass comedy. I was like, none of this is realistic. None of you guys clearly hang out or know a Pauletta for real. Like, in real life. Because you can't possibly depict any of this.
Let me just say this, though. You ain't gonna watch it.
You know how I watch it.
He ain't gonna watch it.
Yeah, but it's getting better.
I think there was a method to that madness, because in the episode since, there's a character, I forget the name, the older newscaster. The veteran newscaster.
Valerie Pettiford?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Valerie Pettiford.
Exactly. She plays basically like a...
who
would be like in real life.
Like Robin Roberts.
Kind of. You know, yeah. But anyway, so she's Gayle King.
Okay. Sue Simmons back in the day.
I think. So my point is, she takes Mary Jane under her wing, but she's slick, so she be doing some bullshit. But she also is started to show Mary Jane the other parts of, like, how you should be moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the fact that Mary J. was moving like that in the beginning made sense, because it's like she never lived here before. She didn't know. And now she's starting these little things that you're like, oh, she ain't been in no comedy club since. Mm-hmm. She ain't been in no club since. Like, she's, like, working. Like, she's a, like, so yeah, you, I think it was a method to that madness.
I just look at this season, it's like it was like a relaunch of the show to me.
Yeah.
Like, which didn't need a relaunch.
Yeah.
But she's moving to New York, and so it's a whole, she's been downgraded to being an anchor lady now.
Now, a web series.
Yeah. And so it's like, you gotta give it a little chance to kick in and swing.
Yeah.
You know? And so you gotta give it a little air to breathe, so.
Yeah,
it's developing each week, and it's getting better, and they're spreading the characters around a little bit more. Like the what's her name, Kara.
Yeah.
She's getting a little bit more shine.
Light, yeah.
You know, especially since the family isn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But that's interesting. Like I told you, in the season, I think it was last season or whatever, they had an episode where Kara came home because something happened with her
dad.
I gotta
go back. I don't remember that episode.
You remember that, bro?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, she came home. This nigga. Jesus. Yeah, and her sister's played by the girl who used to play Tiana, mm-hmm. that show on Nickelodeon, whatever. And she and her dad was like a gambler. So she had a whole episode where she talked. So I'm surprised we haven't seen her family in New York since she's been back. I keep waiting for her to, like.
I think that they'll probably make a visit, or she'll probably fly to Atlanta.
No, but I mean, why is she not going over to her mom and them's house in Queens?
She lives in New York. Okay, yeah,
go visit your parents.
Well, I think that, like I said,
she's living in a hotel.
They're developing her now, and so, like, they're giving her a love life. They gave her, you know, the baseball player. And so I think now, and they showed her kids. Well, she was on the phone talking to her kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's the first time they mentioned the kids got a little airtime.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think that they're giving her more. They may, you know, go back and...
Now, what do we think about Michael Ealy's character? Michael Ealy plays a producer who used to work with Mary Jane.
I just don't want to see a love interest. I don't want to see that they fall for each other. Because that's what I thought that he was on the show for, is like another one of...
You don't think it's going
to go that way? I hope it doesn't. Because it's obvious.
It's too blatant.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather let them have that adversarial relationship in the office and see that tension.
Mm.
And as the weeks go by, I'm getting used to the English dude.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't feeling him at first. Yeah. He just was corny to me.
And, yeah. But he's kind of corny.
Yeah,
but
it's like I'm...
You're confident in
Yeah, I like what they're doing with her character.
Mary Jane.
Yeah, like that. She's soft. She has a man now, and she's softer now. And she just was angry.
Yeah.
It's been 3 seasons
at
now.
At least maybe four.
Like all the other seasons, she just was angry all the time.
Yeah.
And so now it's just a little, you know.
Yeah.
She got a man in her life, and she, you know, new, so she's knocked back a little.
They hang out and stuff, and they go places together, and it's cool, and
So I'm rocking. I'm gonna rock with because I watched
all those shows. Last night's episode had two interesting plot lines. One was there's a rapper, I forget his name, D Razor or somebody, and his thing is he wears women's clothes. He's not gay. He just wears women's clothes as a fashion statement.
Yeah.
So there's a video clip of a kid who's also wearing women's clothes because he looks up to the rapper, and in the clip. The kid's outside, like, dancing or goofing around or whatever. And then the kid's dad runs up on him and, like, kind of whoops on him because he's wearing women's clothes.
And that went viral.
Exactly, went viral. So Mary Jane kind of chases the story down and discusses, like, the whole gender thing and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But then in her own home,
she
has issues with, I guess, the metrosexual ways.
Yeah, because he drinks tea.
Right.
And he crosses his legs. And it was something else that he did that she didn't like. She's like, you know, yeah, but why you got to do that? And he's like, yo, but like, you're important on this. Look at this thing's face. But you're important
on this. He's like, next topic.
No, not next topic. She's an awful person. Like, I don't understand how y'all keep skipping over
her being an
awful person.
I felt that way when I was watching Sex and the City. I hated
Kara. I mean,
Jessica.
I hated
her character.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Hated.
I think she's an awful person.
Awful. Yeah. Awful.
I honestly feel the same way about Mary Jane. I do not see a redeeming quality in her.
I feel this season, she's turning around. Because she has a relationship.
Yeah, well,
we
see how that plays.
And then the other storyline, which I thought was I didn't know where it was going, but it ended up being kind of interesting, was the Spanish lady, Kara.
Mm-hmm.
She met there's a baseball player that came on the show to do an interview, and she overheard him saying that, you know, he loved the transition into television as his career, once his baseball season career's over. And so she goes to him and she's like, yo, he's Latin. She's like, yo, you want to do this? I can help you do this or whatever. Of course, he tries to push up on her first. And she's like, nah, chill. Like, if I get you on here and you do well, it makes me look good.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, they end up starting to fuck around. But it was...
he catches feelings.
He catches feelings. But the spin was, when he would be blazing her, like... Like, I guess how he just...
he's a rookie,
And I think he just plays groupies.
Yeah.
Just bang, 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 bang. You know, Matt, and he's an athlete, so it's like, Matt's forceful and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yo, she like stepped to him, and she was like, yo, fam, like, your sex game is kind of trash. You like, you know, so
we've never really seen that. Never besides seen that. Like, again, Sex and the City, like with
Old Girl.
But we've never really seen that. Yeah. On TV.
But Samantha like would be more harsh. She'd be like, get out! Like, she didn't kick him out. She was just like, yo. So the whole thing was about her teaching him to be more kind of, you know, just gentle. But then what happens is, then the nigga finally learns how to eat her pussy the way she likes. And she gets so amped up that she puts her legs around the dude's neck and, like, crushes the dude's neck. So now he can't play baseball.
Now he can't play. Wow.
Yeah.
So see, wasn't that was explicit for BET? I'm saying, the whole sex scene.
It was crazy.
They had the whole sex
mad
scene.
Mad scenes of sex.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, yo, what?
Cows in a draw.
No, you're not seeing anything, but
you
it's like
but the acting was like, are they?
I was like, yo, am I watching BET?
Yeah, it was
like,
a chance.
Yo, this is.
So, I mean, me and Sid like being Mary Jane, so I know you hate it.
So, just the. So, what do you think that look she gave him at the end?
Which look?
Kara gave the baseball player. She's not really fucking with him. Or she doesn't want a relationship, and he's falling for her.
He's falling for her.
And that looked like...
Like, I don't know.
That was interesting.
Yeah, but I think the table's going to turn. Because now he's learned how to please her. So I think it was easier for her to have that stance when he wasn't really pleased. She just enjoyed him because he was eye candy.
Mm.
And she was lonely.
Mm.
But now that he's learning all her spots, I think it's going to flip. But
it's
we'll going
to flip. Mm.
So let's talk real quick about the haves and the have-nots. Bro, you are...
Man, I'm about to buy me some shoes.
I mean, we ain't gonna get into details.
I didn't see
but,
this week.
No, we ain't getting no details. But let's just talk about the show in general. Why? I've already had this conversation with these two before, but why we like the show so much? What do you think the appeal of the show is? Because the show gets great ratings.
I grew up on the soaps. All my children, General Hospital, and you know, with this show, it's like. Once you realize what you're watching and just accept what it is,
then you just get
it. You can enjoy it and not put it up against Power or other type shows where this is.
Although those are soap operas in their own way.
Those are soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just pure
over the top
entertainment. So you just gotta laugh.
People
coming
back from the dead.
Yeah. Like,
it's just foolishness.
You just got to enjoy it for what it is. And I think that this Tyler just tapped into it.
Yeah.
You know, and one that we can watch.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I love it.
Yeah. I love it, too. I mean, that's the same thing. I think it's a nighttime soap. It's full of foolishness. But I know that, so I don't trip.
This season's
even a little far for me, but I'm a push through. But it's full of foolishness. It's, you know, it's silly, it's goofy, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
Characters disappear, all kind of stuff happens that just doesn't make sense.
People just disappear and then they're never heard from again.
Never again. Like, they were never there. Like, what
happened? What happened?
Yeah, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm supporting you, Tyler, even if certain uppity Negroes don't support.
I'll be watching it till the end.
All right. Bro, did you see that clip I sent about the aliens?
The aliens.
Oh, you ain't see that, Sid? Aliens. So there's a clip. Two nights ago, a huge fireball meteor crashed into Lake Michigan. It was blue. It's a blue light. I'm going to show it to you right now, Sid, while I talk about it. Because I've been telling these folks here that the aliens is here. And they.
It was years ago. I was on the... The LIE.
Okay, Sid. Tell them the story.
The LIE, and I think I was going towards the city.
Okay.
Because I lived in Long Island. It was the evening time, right? And so I'm driving, normal traffic, and I see, it's dark. And so I see this thing in the sky. I see these lights. All right. And so it's getting closer and closer and closer. I'm driving towards it, and it's just sitting in the sky. It's not flying.
Hovering.
Yeah, it's not flying, but it's massive, right? And so I'm like, I'm driving. You know, you think about if this stuff ever happens, how would you react if something was to land right now? How would you
react? Yeah, what would you do if
this was
aliens?
So I'm in the car, and I'm driving by myself. I'm driving, and I'm like, yo, I'm looking around at different cars. I'm like, yo, no one else has seen it. No, I'm driving towards it. I'm like, no one has seen it. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
And nobody's saying nothing?
I'm like, what is that? As I'm getting closer, I realize it's a blimp.
Oh.
You know, but not until I'm right up on it. But I'm just like, I'm freaking out, like, what the fuck? I'm in the car, like, yo, y'all don't see this?
Well, look at this right here. I'm sorry for y'all that can't see it, but I'm just showing Sid and showing the alien gonna land. Hold on, the alien gonna
land. When does come
on? So, just right now, guys, Jeff has queued up his laptop.
Well, how much? It's not working. God damn it.
Yeah.
This is recent, though?
This is 2 days ago, bruh.
And what? This
here you go, look.
That's the aliens?
They's coming out of the sky, the big blue light. Okay. Landed in the Lake Michigan. What was it then?
That was a plane.
Look, here's another version of it. Somebody else got it. People said they seen it in Ohio. They seen it in Michigan. They seen it in all the states. The American, listen, huge fireball lights up sky over Illinois.
So then, where is the coverage of where it landed?
Well, they don't want to tell you that. They don't want panic.
They shut it down.
They want panic, and the CIA shut it down. You know how publicists do.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what publicists is. You can't let the folk know everything because you get panic in the street.
Yeah, but they've been here since the 50s.
Jeff, no, they've been here since the beginning of time, bro.
Jeff gets into the old folks' home. It is going to be so epic. Whoever has the wheel is around in that wheelchair and listen to them stories about the aliens?
Yo, listen.
Oh my God. Yo, they've been here since forever.
Bruh, listen to me. You got me on my topic now.
So if you go
on the internet,
yeah,
and you just do your Googles, there are pictures of alien ships and stuff like that as far back as the Egyptians.
Of course.
Yeah, on the walls and stuff. They say the aliens helped the Egyptians build the pyramids.
What's your favorite alien movie?
Well, we get to the movies to say. But the reason they say that is because if you notice, there are pyramids in Egypt. There are pyramids, I believe, in South America. There are pyramids in Mexico. Now, back then, you know, thousands of years ago, whatever, there's no way those people were communicating. But there are pyramids on different parts of the world that are built the same.
Mm-hmm.
These pyramids are built to give, like, they're almost like compasses for the Earth. And we can go deeper, Sid. See, he don't heard on this. Why he's buying the size 12. Listen, we can go deeper, Sid. What they say is, with the Lord, with the Jesus and the Lord and all that type of stuff, hence the reason we look up. When we pray and all that, we look up to the sky, and Jesus is coming back. Yeah, those aliens is coming back. Now, we all want to talk about that now.
Come on.
My favorite alien movie?
Yeah.
Is still gotta be Close Encounters.
Close Encounters.
But no, my other favorite alien movie was, even though the ending was a little janky, Signs.
Really?
Yeah, because I liked how they showed what I think would be similar to what would happen if aliens really landed.
Mm.
How it was just chaos in the world.
Mm.
I think that would be for real. I mean, it's stupid with the water shit, but like, you know, I think that Water World was, that was all right. What's your favorite alien movie?
I don't think I have a favorite, but I like, I really love Contact with Jodie Foster.
That was dope too.
Because it was a different take, and they didn't have to show any aliens. You know, it was mental.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that one, and you know, of course, the classics, the Close Encounters, the ETs.
What's yours, bro? Your favorite alien movie?
Predator.
Oh, you going there?
Then
my favorite is Star Wars. Yeah, then, I guess.
Seriously, I've never. I have even as a child. I have never been enamored with outer space. Like, none of that.
I'm a sci-fi geek to the core. Yeah,
see, none of that.
Well, I love it all.
It just never struck you. It just never struck me. Even I had friends who was, you know, all into the because all of my friends were older, so they knew Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yep.
Never, like, dude, I've never watched an episode of Star Trek. I've never
seen. Star-
I,
So do you be looking at the stars and astronomy and all that stuff? You know what a Big Dipper is on that?
I mean, I knew it to pass the class. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I did enough to, you know, look, I mean, I'm not struck by
thing.
It. Well, yeah. I'm not struck by it. I mean, I'm clear that it exists. I'm not a fool.
It'd be
silly
thing.
For me to think that we're the only people in the entire universe, right? Like, I'm not that guy. But it doesn't, it doesn't pique my interest at all. It just doesn't.
Right.
And now, I will say the science, the alien aspect, but it's like science things trip me out. So I'll read about, you know, a planet. You know, I'll read about stuff like that. I'll watch a documentary about, you know, a new galaxy or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, aliens and shit like that, I just...
What about the blue fireball I just showed you? What you about that?
I think that was some shit that fell in the water.
What was it?
It was blue. Could have been a little bit of plane or something.
Plane!
You know what I'm saying?
Plane seen by 4 or 5 states.
That was a meteorite that fell down.
Oh, they ain't tell you my other theories. You ain't been here. So, you know the plane, the Malaysia 370?
Is lost? Is the TV show lost?
No, that's the aliens took that plane.
The aliens took it?
Yeah, gone. That's why they can't find no trace of it. It went way off course and it's gone.
Naima, these niggas...
Crazy. I just didn't say it was lost.
Crazy.
Aliens took
that plane gone, bro.
Wow.
I'm playing up in the fifth Milky Way right now. They're all getting probed. So, hey, Sib, I want to talk a little bit about your history and your background.
Ooh, my history.
Again, so you say you started 21 years ago.
Ooh.
So how'd it get
back
going?
Back in the day.
How'd it get going? Because there might be some kids out here that want to be publicists, and they don't know how to track.
Oh, man, how do I sum this up? I guess it started with...
Where'd you go to college?
I went to college...
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up, born in Queens, grew up in Hempstead, Long Island.
So you grew up with Chuck D and them fools?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Went to the same high school as Buster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like a class or two ahead of him.
Okay.
But Charlie Brown not in the same class and everything.
Eddie and them was gone by then. Well, they from Roosevelt though.
Yeah, but he's older.
Yeah, he's older.
Yeah, he was older.
But his youngest brother, he's older too, I guess though.
I don't remember anybody else.
Vernon? His younger brother
older.
Named Vernon.
I think
he got an older brother, Charlie.
Okay.
And then Eddie's middle, and he got a younger brother named Vernon. Vernon actually produces a lot of TV shows now in Hollywood.
Oh really?
Yeah, Vernon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think he's older as well though.
Oh, okay. But went to the college at Howard University, was going for a finance major, but my interest has always been in communication, fine arts, creative. And so I had friends and people around me that were doing that, were interning at BET and
all those. Because BET was in D.C. at the time.
Yep, down there and at radio stations. I used to live through them.
Come down to BC, BET and D.C.
Oh, yeah. That was the golden era. So I went there the same time as Puffy.
Okay.
So
Matt Middleton was there as well.
Yep.
Derek.
D-Dot, who else?
Ed Woods,
Carl Payne, Marlon Wayans, Tawana Brawley.
Oh, I forgot Tawana was
there.
Yeah,
she was there during my time.
Did you know her?
No, I just saw her.
Okay.
Because she was hot then.
Yeah.
She
was a cutie too, back then.
So that was my era, and then I used to live through my friends that used to intern in all the communication areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got fed up with me always being around not doing it. And I've always been in the mindset, my parents are from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like you work, and you don't really find a job in your passion.
You just find a job. Pay your bills.
That's it.
Yeah,
and so
take care of your family.
The fine arts and creative, I didn't have anyone that really did that around me, so that really wasn't realistic to me. So you had to go get a job.
Yeah.
And so the first person went to college, my aunt did, what she did? She did marketing, and then I have an older brother, and he went to school for accounting. And so I did well in business. So I said, oh, I'll just do finance. And so they got sick of me in school. Just hanging around them, and so they said a record company, which happened to be Def Jam, was coming to the campus to promote, and they said they're having like a little open forum, and you're coming. We signed you up to go, and you're going, oh, no, no, it makes no sense for me to go because I can't get credit in this, and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. It was like, whatever, whatever, you're going. And so it was right around the Def Comedy Jam era. So I don't know if you know Kevin Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kevin Mitchell came in. Mm-hmm. He was the rep that was coming. Mm-hmm. So he came in. We're all sitting in the auditorium. And he comes in on a cell phone, and he's like, oh, sorry, I'm late. I just can't. I got the phone with Russell and blah, blah, blah. And we're all
stunning.
Yeah, we're all like, wow. Yeah, you took the Russell Simmons, wow. And so he started just to break down what the record company was. And at this point, I never, ever thought about the business. I've always saw just talent. Like, you have to be the actor, the singer, the dancer, the athlete. And never once thought about the behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody right. did it at that point before then.
And so when he came and started talking and started breaking down the different departments and things you could do in the company, it was like literally the clouds parted, the sunshine, and I was like, oh, my God, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I can still have my degree or do my path and still go.
Mm-hmm.
In the entertainment business. So right then and there, I switched everything and got an internship later that year or that summer with Def Jam and Mercury Records at the time.
Okay.
And I interned both for free Monday, Wednesday, Friday at Mercury and Tuesdays and Thursdays at Def Jam.
Okay, so you was full-time.
Yeah, and then Julie Green was my boss at Def Jam.
Okay.
And so I interned under her. And so just kept in contact, went back to school, kept in contact with everyone. And every time Puffy had an event or something was happening, a Christmas party,
go.
I would drive up here, go and meet everyone.
And meet
every receptionist at every label. And so when it was time for me to start looking for work, I just got my favorite CDs, looked at the back. And saw what companies they belonged to. And I worked in the government at the time while I was going to school. And I had my own cubicle and phone. I just was like calling up the human resource department. It was like, I'm a student. I mm-hmm. live in New York. And when I come for a holiday, can I internship? And everybody said no. Except for my dream was Uptown and Andre Harrell to work for him. And I called him up and it was like, no, we don't do that. And Def Jam was the one that said, yeah, come on up. Because you know, I didn't want to go through Kevin. I wanted to go the proper way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I got my internship with them. And the next thing, years later, like a job opened up in publicity. I interned in every other department. But I said out loud, I said, everything else is cool, but I want to somehow affect the artists before they meet the public. I don't know what that is, because I did retail marketing, I did promotions, and I said, going to radio stations, talking to DJ, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me. And on my own, back in the day with VHS tapes and stuff, I used to record just for fun every time an artist was on television doing interviews, sitting down or performing. I had stacks and stacks of tapes of them on Soul Train or them on... you know, Jay Leno or whatever, I just would have it. And not knowing that was job.
The path.
So now,
yeah.
years later, I'm booking those things.
Yeah. So, well, I kind of asked this earlier, but again, besides the social media thing, what's some other ways that publicity has changed over the years? I mean, social media obviously is the biggest one.
I mean, that is the...
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, and... The decline of outlets, of especially urban outlets.
So that's a good one. So with the decline of urban outlets, like what do you do now?
I mean, everything now is social media.
That's it.
That's all people care about.
So do you actually come together with a social media plan for the artist? Or your own, or you just kind of like...
Well, no, we...
Are you just out there winging it?
Well, no, we have a social media team, or a digital team that does that, but we work hand in hand with them. I mean, you got to.
You know?
And, you know, I mean, it's still print.
Does publicity matter?
Of course. Of course publicity matters. It will always matter.
Why?
I mean, because we're the ones that get the information out. We set the tone for, you know, who the artist is. And when you see them, outside of them just doing their video, but when you see them performing or you see them, you know, you see them doing an interview or a photo shoot, it's or even the social media to some aspect of, you know, because a lot of it can be planned and can be, you know, marketed towards a project or a release or a film or something.
Do y'all still do media training and all that stuff?
Absolutely.
Too? Absolutely. But why are you doing media training if they're not in front of media?
No, they are in front of media. They yeah. are. No,
unless
we still
you go to
yeah,
good
yeah.
Good Day New York.
No, no, you. We still do print. We still do
press days and all that.
Absolutely.
But who's the press?
What do you mean? Who's the press?
Who's the press?
We still have
Source and them still around. Vibe.
The Source is still there. Vibe is online.
Double XL.
Yeah. Double XL is still on in print. Yeah.
But I guess it's Complex and Fader and them too.
Yeah. Plus the television.
You don't let them just.
It's television and it's online.
You don't let them just run wild.
You can't.
Like wild animals.
And plus everybody, you know, now everyone comes in, they want to be in GQ, they want to be in,
yeah,
you know.
They want to be, everybody's fashion now.
Everyone's fashion. Everyone wants to be in front row of Fashion Week.
I'm fashion. I got all the Jordans. Yeah, that's not fashion. But, now what about, what do you think about the artists now and the, this is going to go into to Bruh's line of work. How is the reality TV affecting artists that are on reality TV? Is it good or bad? What do you think? Does it affect them in a positive way or negative way? Does it really matter?
Well, for me, it depends on the person and what they're doing, but it's all exposure. You know.
So you under that no press is bad press kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean it's all exposure and. Nowadays, it's not just the movie you're in or the song that you're. People want to know who you are, and if you're relatable, if you're a character, you know. And that's what reality does. It gives them. It pulls back the curtain and shows exactly who
their
favorite are.
Is that good or bad though? Because back in the day. I hate to say that.
I wouldn't
back in the
say
day, we didn't
really
know the stuff that
but
the Temptations was doing.
Right, but
that's,
that was
that
the time, and that's what worked for then.
But not
now, people gotta, they want to know who you are.
But some artists, some of the bigger artists to me.
It's only one or two. One or two people that you don't know anything, like the Jay-Z's.
Yeah,
and
Beyonce controls her message.
Yeah.
Drake controls his message pretty well. Kendrick definitely controls his stuff. You don't hear a lot about him outside of whatever he kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else like that. I'm thinking black artists. I don't know much about the white side. But you think most of them need to be, people want to know everything.
It's not, everybody wants to know everything about a person. And so,
is that good though? That lack of mystery, you think that's a good thing?
Well, I don't even look at it as a good thing. It's just, this is the
it
era.
Just is.
This is the era we're in. And so everybody, we want to consume all of you.
If an artist comes in and says, I want a new artist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do press. I'm not doing no press, so I don't really want to deal with that shit. What do you say to them?
Well, some of them, they come in and say that, but then they change their mind.
If they don't change it.
They will, because they get jealous of what the next artist has. You know, they see the next artist on this cover or this television show, and they want that. You know, so that means you have to do press. It's only rare that they don't. Yeah, so it's like, you know, but most of the time they say they want everything.
Now, who's some of the bigger artists you've worked with, so people know?
Let me see. Well, now when I started, I came up under Brandy. It was the Levert, Aaliyah, Changing Faces.
Oh yeah.
I remember the that. Junior Mafia, Kim.
Okay.
Fat Joe, Terror Squad.
They were on the
My first so artist for me personally mm-hmm. was Twista and the Speed Not Mobsters.
That's right. There was and you work with T.I. You work really close with
T.I. T.I. and Trey Songz and Wiz Khalifa.
Any stories you could tell that ain't going to incriminate you?
Oh, my God. Too many stories. That,
anything
I mean,
that you could say that... What's the wild... Give us a wild-ass story. Just one. It don't have to be the wildest.
I mean, he's family. And so... I mean, the wildest is when his best friend got murdered. Yeah, when his best friend got murdered.
Yeah, well, that's wild and a bad
one. I mean, that was... And then... His when he got arrested for all the guns.
Yeah, I ride past that, what's it called? That, was it CVS or Walgreens? A lot when I'm in Atlanta.
You know, I never knew which one it was.
I think it's a Walgreens. It's off of,
I mean, which thing it was. But yeah, I was with him. I was there.
When he got arrested?
It's just so, I can,
Can you tell the story? Allegedly.
So, him and I, we're like... We're like brothers.
Yeah,
sort of.
Tight. Yeah.
And he's family to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go at it
like
all
brothers.
The time. Yeah, fight all
Fuck
the time. Fight all the time. And this particular day, we were, going at it at the Hip Hop Awards, and I stopped speaking to him at the show.
Because y'all was going that hard.
We were going at it, and I just got fed up, and. I was just like, okay, alright, do whatever. And then he was like, he has to leave. You know at award shows, you don't leave. You get to the location and you're just there. You go in your trailer and you think you don't go and
Can't
come
leave,
back.
Yeah.
That's not the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just was like, whatever. But had we not fell out or on my end, if I didn't get fed up, I would have been in the car. I would have got arrested too. Because I would have been with him. Or maybe he would have said, no, you can't come to this.
Yeah.
But normally, I would have been there. And you know, my belief.
Wow.
Yeah. So it goes down, and we get the reports, and I'm standing there, and then everybody's calling my phone.
Of course.
CNN, every outlet.
Big ones.
Every outlet. It was major headline. The head of communication for BET... Everyone's like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. Nothing.
I'm at the craft table.
Yeah. Show. I've been through everything with this guy. And so nothing.
Shakes you.
Yeah. I mean, just up until I hadn't worked with him in maybe 2-3 years. Or he's been gone from Atlantic maybe 3 years now.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
And so I was there at Urban Plaza.
Oh, you was there for that too?
He had came to town, and wanted to hang out. Hadn't seen him in a while, uh-huh. And so I was like, "Oh, okay, let me go hang out with him." And we had went there, and we were in the room, the upstairs part. And when it happened, I think it was maybe 20 minutes before. He was like, "Sydney, what you doing here? You know, you don't be at these type of spots." I was like, "Nah, I don't go to these spots no more." And sure enough. Stuff pop off, and I'm just like,
and that's why
I thought I was done with this.
Now, how was Brandy?
And I haven't been able to go back to Urban Plaza since.
Really?
Just mentally, yeah. I was like,
well, now they don't have no black music anyway, so it don't matter. After the Taxstone Trey Av thing, that was the last straw. How was it working with Brandy in this, when she was back then? She was a kid, so.
Nah, I will say that Brandy is. It was the best. That was the heyday. That was what the golden era I call, and when we were able to communicate with her and talk directly, and she would listen. And she's one of the artists way before social media. The media protected her, took her in as their child, and she would come in and. Jump on the phone and sit at my desk,
call people,
and answer the phones, and like when she was doing the her main album? Her best album.
Full Moon.
Nah, the one before.
That's with the Angels of Mine.
Yeah.
Never Say Never.
Never Say Never. Never Say Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were battling with the record company on what the song should be, and she got with the urban department, it was like, yo, it sat us all in the room. It was like, whatever y'all say, do. Whatever the single should be, because the pop side of the company wanted to go a different route.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, nah, if y'all would tell me what to say, so when I go speak, and I'm like, you never see an artist do that.
Yeah, tell me what to say.
Yeah, tell me
that
what to say.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, what's next?
I know.
For you.
That's the thing, is what's next?
Your 401k is crazy. You're sitting on $80 million, man.
That's the thing, is to discover what's next. I mean, I've been on this health kick.
Tell them about that. So how much weight did you lose over the...
I lost about maybe, I think it was about 40, 45 pounds. But to look at me, it looked like I was bigger than I was. I think I just redistributed everything. But, you know, living this lifestyle, I came in small when I first started and blew up.
Yeah, because the lifestyle, if you don't watch it, eating late, the drinking.
And then I
eat
never...
Eat late and eating bad.
Eating bad.
Yeah, you eat fried this, drink, yeah.
You know, all no hours sleep, of the night, no brunch. Sleep. And, you know, with publicity, you're on call 24/7, you know, mm-hmm. and especially all my artists are always in and out of jail, you know.
Let's go to the Waffle
House. All of that. And... It ran away with me, and when I finally went to the doctor, they said I was about to have a heart attack and a stroke.
Damn.
Yeah, if I didn't lose weight and change. And my mom was dealing with blood clots. Probably, she was hospitalized about 4 months prior to my hospital visit. And so we were in and out of the hospital dealing with her situation. And so I saw what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want that.
I don't want to live.
And
like
so
that,
I said, okay. And that was my bottom. And I said, okay, I have to redo this whole thing. And I never grew up athletic, play any sports or anything. And so I had to start doing
zero.
Things. And so at the age of 40 something, is the first time I started exercising, doing anything. And now I'm like,
But now once you do it, then once you do
now,
it, you can't, you don't, you, it becomes part of your
routine. Yeah, now I'm, you know, people say,
but you know what's
I'm
interesting? What I find interesting, and I was telling, because I know your assistant is she's starting to train and work out and stuff like that too. And we talked, she came another day and we were talking about it. And I was like, one of the wildest things to me when you start to like try to take care of yourself is the pushback you get from everybody else. Like, somebody might
You wouldn't really understand. It's people push you. It's a day-by-day thing. And even for me, it's been, I don't know, 4 years living this way. Every day, people are like, oh, yo, you work out all the time. Just have this.
Yeah, dude, it
and
never
you know,
stops.
You're
like, you going to the gym tonight, man? Man, just don't go tonight. Yeah. We going to get something to eat.
Yo, we have a birthday party, once a week?
At least.
With champagne, cake,
pasta,
the whole thing. Once a week.
Laid out there. Liquor.
Everything.
And had one yesterday.
Yes. And then, Peace
to Marsha.
And with every meeting, everybody wants to meet for drinks. Let's meet over dinner. You know? And even for me, it's a day-to-day thing where I thought you get comfortable after a while. I was like, oh, I've been doing this. I got it under control. My blood pressure and cholesterol, and a couple of weeks ago we had the fitness fair at the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, let me just go. I hadn't done my yearly, I normally do my yearly physical in January, so I hadn't gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went down there, my blood pressure levels were in the hypertension zone.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. With all the working out. And they put me on medication for cholesterol and blood pressure, and they said I'll be on it for the rest of my life. And I said, that can't be right. It's if I do what I'm supposed to do, if I eat, exercise, and I change my way of thinking how to handle, because I was like, I'm not changing jobs, so I just have to learn how to interpret the job different and not take it
home. Not let it stress you out.
Yeah, and so if I'm doing all that, my levels got to come down. And so it came down. I took myself off. And the doctors was like, you still on it? I'm like, no. It was like, how long? It was like, I asked them, how are my levels? They was like, you're good. I was like, yeah, but other doctors said I'll be on it forever.
Because it would
be... Yeah, and so I got comfortable. Yeah. And so then when I found out that it's back up, I had to rejigger everything in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a trip, like I said. It's people, a day by people day. Always want you to do the wrong thing. Yeah,
and you see everyone in our age group, people are dying. People are dying of heart attacks and preventable diseases and causes.
Yeah. Like you said, the you know, our jobs are, you know, stressful enough. I mean, and nobody's complaining because we also have a lot of perks and are blessed. But, you know, the traveling and all that shit, like, it's fun, but it definitely can take a toll on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like you said, and then if you get caught up in the bullshit of, like, then not working out, like I said, and then eating late at night and drinking, like, yo, open bar, son, let's get, you know, and all that shit. It's like, yo, that shit catches up quick. Like, I'm, you know, going out to the Grammys on Friday. And, you know, I always bring my gym clothes when I go everywhere. I'm like, I'm working out. But I remember just going to Grammys last year. I climbed Runyon Trail.
Yeah.
So many people like that picture of me for climbing Runyon Trail. Almost awesome, like, damn, like, you did that and I went to eat. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, you could have did it too. It's free. You know what I'm saying? But but again, it's just like, you know, that entertainment thing. People get caught up in the...
My goal last year, I wanted to see if I can do the marathon and the Grammys. And I ran the L.A. Marathon the Sunday and did the Grammys that the Monday.
That Monday night.
Yeah, and went to an event Sunday night. And that was one of the biggest accomplishments.
You weren't sore Sunday night after the run to you still able to go to the event?
Yes. Wow. Yes, and but I, you know, you
felt it, but you went.
Yeah, you commit. It's work.
Yeah, I gotta go. Yeah, I'm out here for this.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not out here for that. For the run. Yeah. But I'm like, yo, anything is possible.
Yeah.
Anything, if you want it, if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if Puff did it, if Oprah did it.
Yeah. It can be done. Naima runs the marathon. She's run it before. A couple times, right?
Yeah, like three or four times.
Yeah. So, man, we're going to wrap it up on that. Thank you for coming, Sid. Your first interview ever.
This is good.
See, it wasn't bad. See, I told you I had you. He was nervous. He was mad nervous. I told you I got you, me. And we're going to wrap it up. Again, Nye, we'll talk to you soon and hopefully see you soon.
Yes,
I don't know if it'll be next week, but
soon.
See y'all later.
And that's what's poppin' in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.